This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington, and here are headlines from some of the stories we're following here today at NPR News. Police in Wuhan, China today detained hundreds of people after violent protests over the way police handled the death of a teenage girl. There are allegations of a cover-up. And in New York City, the Port Authority says the September the 11th memorial will not be ready on time or on budget for the 7th anniversary of the terrorist attacks. And at this point, cost estimates and deadlines are pointless. You can hear details on those stories and, of course, much more later today on All Things Considered. Tomorrow, well, sure, you know the Michael Phelpses and the Mary Lou Rettons. Their Olympic dreams were writ large on cereal boxes. But there are some diligent competitors that never make it and risk everything for a shot at the gold. The Olympic journey, plus filmmaker Alex Gibney on the life of Hunter S. Thompson. That's coming up tomorrow on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. One day after he took the oath of office as president, Zimbabwe's Robert Mugabe arrived in Egypt today to attend the Summit of African Union Countries. As the meeting began, Kenya's prime minister said the organization should bar President Mugabe. A short while ago, the United States circulated a draft resolution at the United Nations Security Council that calls for an arms and travel embargo on Zimbabwe and for assets of specific Zimbabwean individuals and companies to be frozen. All that after the old hero of Zimbabwe's struggle for independence used violence and intimidation to win a one-man presidential runoff election last Friday. Last year, South African journalist Heidi Holland spoke with the reclusive Robert Mugabe for over 2 hours. Her book about the transition from freedom fighter to tyrant is called Dinner with Mugabe. If you have questions about Robert Mugabe's life and what, if anything, the international community should do now, give us a call. The number is 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Heidi Holland joins us from the studios of the BBC in Johannesburg, South Africa, and it's nice to have you today on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, Neil.
And can you tell us, Robert Mugabe does not give a lot of interviews. How did you manage to get him to devote, 2.5 hours with you?
With the greatest difficulty. It took me 2 years to network with his priest, Neil, and I had to wait next to the telephone for 5 weeks to finally get an invitation into his office.
Good thing you had a long deadline.
Yes, well, actually, my book deadline had expired in the middle of November last year, and I said to the priest, you know, it's now or never, and he said, well, why don't you come up here and wait? And I think, it was worth it, you know, but it was an ordeal.
What was it like to describe the scene for us as you came in for dinner with Mugabe?
Well, the dinner had taken place 30 years ago when he was a freedom fighter and he was about to leave what was then Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, to go across the border into Mozambique to wage war against white oppression. That's when he came to dinner with me. I was a young journalist and activist. He didn't come to have dinner with me, actually. He came to meet somebody else, but I provided the safe house. But I saw him again. The next time I saw him was, as I say, 6 months ago, just before Christmas last year. He was the same man, basically. You know, he's very quiet. You'd be surprised. He's the public figure you see campaigning and wearing these gaudy African prints and a baseball cap and shouting, hurling abuse at Britain. I think this is an act that he puts on, a political kind of persona, because the man himself is extremely quiet and very shy. You know, he's always been shy. People who knew him in his childhood said he was shy, friendless, a loner, very, very emotionally damaged man. And he was the same man, but he seems much more tense and remote the second time around.
And as you say, not dressed in African clothing, but in fact in an imitation of a Savile Row suit.
Yeah, well, he used to buy a genuine Savile Row suits, but now that he's not allowed to go to shopping in London anymore, I understand they're made in Malaysia. But he's very sartorially elegant, you know, beautifully dressed. And when I was close up to him shaking his hand, I could see this absolutely lovely shirt with tiny little blue stitching on the edge, white shirt with blue stitching on the edge of the collar. A very elegant man, actually a polite man when you're not contradicting him. I did contradict him a few times, and then he literally, you can see it in his eyes, his anger. The little sparks come in his eyes.
Hmm. You also have suggested that after all the criticism of Robert Mugabe over the past years, and indeed mounting over the past several weeks, the thing that may have stung the most was the withdrawal of his knighthood extended by the Queen of England.
Yes, ironically, Mugabe, underneath his public hatred of the British, is a great love for Mother England. That's because he grew up under colonialism. He's an 84-year-old man, and he was raised by Catholic missionaries. His surrogate father, after his own biological father deserted the family when he was 10 years old, was actually a white Anglo-Irish priest. Mugabe has a very confused identity, which accounts for a lot of his contradictions.
And if a lot of Heidi Holland's conclusions sound like psychology, you consulted psychologists in writing your book.
I did, you know. I didn't intend to in the beginning. What I intended to do to get fresh material was to talk to people who had had personal experiences with Mugabe. And this I did, but as I was accumulating very, very interesting and fresh material, I wasn't sure how I was going to analyze it and synthesize it. And then I hit on the idea, partly because he is so complicated, of working with psychologists, and for various reasons I chose three psychologists. It was very arduous, but I do think I got below the surface, to find out how the external events of Robert Mugabe's life had impacted on him internally.
Heidi Holland's book is called Dinner with Mugabe. If you'd like to join the conversation, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's begin with Arcandello. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, in Salt Lake City.
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
Am I on?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yes, I recently I've been listening to radio and everybody's talking bad about Robert Mugabe. I mean, I'm from Africa and our people in Africa, we suffer so much in the hand of the British people, the colonies, and because of the few white farmers, now they're trying to bring down the whole government because of that. I mean, Mugabe did a lot of good things in Zimbabwe. I wish somebody can do the same thing like this from in Sudan, because I'm from Sudan. Mugabe trying to get weapons from China, nobody want to give him the weapons. But the Bashir, Omar al-Bashir from Sudan, able to get weapons.
Well, Heidi Holland, there are a lot of people. Robert Mugabe had legions of people who admired him and supported him. And I gather from what you said, at least some time ago, that included you.
It did, yes. Yes, certainly he did good things early on, especially in the field of education. But that was a long time ago. And he doesn't have many admirers in the world at large anymore. I think that the caller, I can understand his sentiments, but, you know, there's quite a lot of cross-references there. Robert Mugabe has really oppressed his people. Robert Mugabe wants to stay in power at absolutely any price. I think he's an incredibly dangerous man who would really do anything, absolutely anything. There are not many people in the world who really feel they've got absolutely nothing to lose, but Robert Mugabe is one of them. So I'm certainly not an admirer of his anymore. What I tried to do in my book was to comprehend what had happened to him over the 30 years from the time I first met him. And I think that is an interesting investigation, because my particular approach was to look for a nuanced explanation. Your caller also yearns for that, but I think his take is a little bit simplistic.
Well, there can be no argument with his point that the country suffered terribly under colonialism, as so many African countries did. Nevertheless, you say Robert Mugabe has this fascination. There's one point you quote him saying, "We had the great good fortune to be colonized by Great Britain."
Yes, that was something he said to Lady Mary Soames. She was one of the people that I interviewed. She's the widow of the last British governor in Zimbabwe, and actually the daughter of Winston Churchill, a lovely woman. I spent quite a lot of time talking to her. She had been very friendly with Robert Mugabe for years. And yes, she sat next to him at dinner very early on when he first became leader of Zimbabwe, and that's what he said to her, that they had the great fortune to be colonized by Britain. And of course, this is still very much Mugabe's sentiment. He's very foxy because, as I say, he really loves the British, actually, which is why I have been saying on public platforms that probably in the end, the only people who actually have any influence on Mugabe to this day are the British, in fact.
You paint a picture of a, shy, as you mentioned, lonely, isolated man who he never hears bad news, is your conclusion.
I think he's arranged himself in recent years in a sort of reality bubble. It's called denial, actually, because I think he can't face what he's done in Zimbabwe. I don't think he intended to do as much damage as he has done. He's rather an impulsive man, I think, in terms of his own anger, and I think he's led by that. And he's also very disconnected from his feelings and has been lifelong. This man comes from a very, very emotionally deprived background, and to cope with it, he just pushed away all his emotions. I think what you see in Robert Mugabe today is this pent-up, stored-up, festering anger coming out of absolutely every pore. He's not realistic at all. He's really out of touch.
Again, our guest is Heidi Holland. Her book is Dinner with Mugabe. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And you also describe a man who does not respond well to outside pressure, or indeed to pressure at all.
Well, you see, because of the way he's organized his own reality, as it were, he thinks he's always right. In fact, there's a big sign inside the presidency saying Mugabe is right in massive letters. So, you know, he can only be right. He can't be wrong. So if anybody comes at him with negative perceptions, he just flares up. You know, as I say, when I contradicted him, I could see the anger in his eyes, but I had sought advice from the psychologist before I went to see him, so I knew how to deal with it, and I just back off for a bit and then come at it in a different way, which is how I managed to stay there for 2.5 hours. Otherwise, if you go head-to-head with him, you'll be out of his office in 5 minutes.
Let's get Mindy on the line, and Mindy's calling us from Sacramento in California.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I do find Ms. Holland's comments to be highly offensive. This is a man that brought the one man, one vote rule democracy to the southern region of Africa. I'm originally from Nigeria. He taught the British how to allow people of different backgrounds and races to be able to cast their vote. The fact that Zimbabwe is having these difficulties as a result of the sanctions imposed on Zimbabwe by the rest of the Western powers. Now, every leader in the world at some point has made mistakes. Mugabe, I'm sure, has made his own mistake. But there is no way 10% of the population of a country can control 90% of arable land. No way in this world can that be allowed. Mugabe allowing this interview was not, I'm sure, trying to come away with such a negative impression created by Ms. Holland. So I don't know what her basis is to allude to Mugabe as being a tyrant. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Mindy. Tyrant, how did you come to that conclusion, Heidi Holland?
Well, you know, Mugabe over recent years has suppressed the media. He's completely annihilated the independent judiciary. He's just won the election through blatant violence and intimidation. I don't think there's any doubt about that, you know. Indeed, he was once a liberator, and indeed, he wanted to do the right thing. I think my book is quite balanced in that respect, but it's absolutely true that the land needed to be redistributed, and you know, I don't deny any of those things. But he's undoubtedly a tyrant. But for that matter, so was Ian Smith before him. He was equally a dictator. You know, the history of that country has been extremely problematic in terms of equality and democracy. There never has been democracy in Zimbabwe.
Let's get one last caller on. This is Asqua. Asqua with us in Portland, Oregon.
Yes. My question is, I really admire her for coming out with this book and saying so. But I'm just really frustrated about the Western and the media that just ignoring everything until the last minute. The same thing happened to Ethiopia about 2 years ago, election, and was a government that dictated for 14, 15 years, slaughtered 193 people. And, you know, such a stuff have been neglected quite everybody, especially on the West, assuming that they're participating in such a way of supporting the Western, and they ignore the whole thing what's going on around the world. And the same thing happened to every part of the world. And I'm just saying that why is getting too late?
Why don't we get a response from Heidi Holland?
If I get the question, I agree with that. I think this has gone on too long. I think if the caller is saying that that something needs to be done there, I very much fear that the violence is going to continue, even though Robert Mugabe has won the runoff in his own terms. I'm very worried about the situation there. As you know, the AU, the African Union, is meeting at the moment, and I'm sure that the pressure is increasing on Robert Mugabe. But, you know, I think if you look at the Western diplomacy towards him over the last 8 years or so, it has been isolationist and punitive, and the sanctions, to be honest, have been almost useless, except that they've powered his propaganda machine. So I would really like to see the West take a hard look at Robert Mugabe and perhaps adjust its general diplomacy, perhaps through something one might call psycho-diplomacy, figure out who he is, and perhaps stop humiliating him. Because I don't think that works. It just makes him angrier and angrier. This is a very weak man in his psyche. He's very intellectually developed at the expense of his emotional development. Sometimes I think international diplomacy needs to actually look at the nature of the person that they're dealing with rather than just have this sort of blanket thing, okay, sanctions, let's vilify him.
Heidi Holland, thank you very much for being with us today. I'm afraid we're out of time. Heidi Holland is a journalist and author of Dinner with Mugabe. She joined us today from BBC South Africa. This is Talk of the Nation.